Have you ever been to a wedding where they ran out of drink? I did earlier this year. It caused quite a bit of consternation amongst some of the guests. I guess weddings are pretty complicated affairs and they cost a lot of money. They require a great deal of planning and effort. Just ask any bride. But you know what? Today's weddings are nothing compared to what they were in Jesus' day. They were week-long events involving just about everyone. The whole town was often invited to participate in this festive celebration of a couple's new life together. And as with today's weddings, there was a lot of pressure on the host to get everything just right. And running out of wine was just not an option. It was actually considered a great slight. It was an offence to the guests, an embarrassment to the host, and a disaster for the bride and groom. It would have been considered a scandal in the local region. A lot of reputations would be destroyed. In the particular case that we heard about in the scripture reading from John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana, there appeared to be no obvious solution when the wine ran out. It was desperate times. But Jesus' mum knew just what to do. Mary's concern for the situation made it an event ahead of its time. Even ahead of Jesus' time, as we heard, he said, "Mum, my time has not yet come," or words to that effect. The concern, the knowledge, and the trust of Mary turned a disaster into a legendary event. And what was the first thing that she did? Well, it's a lesson for us all when things go wrong. She turned to Jesus. She knew of a source that was going to be able to fix this problem, a source that was unbeknown to anyone else. And the lesson we learn from that is that Jesus is the solution to all our problems. Now, it's not clear whether Mary was asking Jesus to perform a miracle or was she just confident that her eldest son could fix it. He was a son who also just happened to be the Son of God. It is clear, though, that she was able to rely on him and was probably used to doing so. Tradition has it that Jesus' dad, Joseph, had already died by this time. We don't know that for sure, but we do know that Mary did rely on her eldest son, Jesus. For whatever reason, Mary had complete confidence that Jesus would resolve the crisis. Hence her words to the servants in verse 5 of John chapter 2, "Do whatever he tells you." So that's lesson 3 we can learn from this experience. Do whatever Jesus tells us. And what is it that he tells us? Well, the scriptures often remind us that we are to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, and we are to love our neighbor as ourself. Not in some nepotistic way, but you can't love others as yourself if you don't love yourself as well. And another question that we can ask about this, what happened when the servants followed Mary's instruction? The instruction to do whatever Jesus said, no matter how strange it might seem. The answer is that the problem was solved. And sometimes as Christians, we are asked to do some seemingly pretty strange things, but we can do so with complete and utter confidence. But you know what? Life is filled with bigger disasters than just running out of wine at a wedding. We live in a world which is running out of soul, devoid of love, and the void needs to be filled. Just like those empty wine jars at the wedding at Cana. And we need to do what he says. The idea is that through us as Christians, he will pour out the wine of his love. But Jesus is not just there for others. He's there for us as well. His name is Emmanuel. God is with us, always. And he knows our needs and how to provide for us. That's a promise that we can hold fast to. For example, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, that's Philippians 4, verse 19, it says, "God will meet your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." If we have the confidence of Jesus' mother, then we don't need to go through life filled with anxiety and worry. But you know what? We're human, and we do stress. And we do suffer from anxiety and worry. But when we do, we can also have the confidence that God has the solution. Just like Jesus' mother Mary knew that Jesus had the solution to the problem at the wedding of Cana when they ran out of wine. He had the problem in hand. And he has our problems in hand as well, and all we need to do is trust him, just like Mary did, and as she told the servants at the wedding to do. It seemed like a strange request, but they did it, and it worked. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells his followers not to worry about what they'll eat or what they'll drink or what clothes they wear. That was in verse 31. And in the context, he's basically saying don't make the pursuit of those things the major priority of your life. Verse 32, he says, because that's what the pagans do. They've got their priorities all wrong. But he continues in the second part of verse 32 of Matthew chapter 6, your heavenly Father knows that you need those things. Verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be given to you as well. And verse 34 continues, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. It's very difficult to worship God and be filled with worry at the same time. In John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31, we're told that the disciples witnessed many more miracles by Jesus than we read about in the Gospels, and that the few that we do read about, verse 31 tells us, are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Well, the first of those miracles is what we've been talking about today. It happened at the wedding at Cana. And that passage about the wedding ends in John chapter 2 and the end of verse 11, where it says, he thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Or as some versions put it, they believed in him. This particular miracle reveals a few more lessons for us. We've already seen that we should turn to Jesus. In fact, we should remain constantly turned to Jesus. We learned that Jesus is the solution to all our problems. And we learned that we should do whatever Jesus tells us, because he has the solutions to our problems. And as we continue now, we see three more lessons, three more things we learn about Jesus. It reveals that Jesus was intent on serving others in a personal way. He could have ignored his mum and let the celebrations continue without the wine. But, like his mum, he didn't want the host to be embarrassed or the bridegroom to be upset. And so he addressed an issue that would have been a personal disaster. He cared about those people. Another thing that Jesus turning water into wine tells us about him, it demonstrates his power over nature and his unquestionable authority, even over the laws of physics. To be able to command that water becomes wine makes that very clear. And thirdly, Jesus' miracles were about restoration. Have you ever noticed that almost every miracle that Jesus did was a renewal of a fallen creation? The wine episode was about restoring empty wine vessels and making them useful. Other miracles he performed was about restoring sight and health. He healed the blind, the lame, and lepers, etc., for example. And he even restored life, as in the case of Lazarus. And of course, there's the greatest miracle of all. What's that one? He restored, or is in the process of restoring, a broken world. He has made that a possibility. In other words, Jesus made eternal life available to all who would believe. And that is a miracle. An incredible one. You and I, if we are Christians and if we believe, have experienced that miracle in our own lives. Another thing to note from this story is that the wine that Jesus miraculously provided for this wedding was the best. Simply the best. He saved the best till last, just a quote from a few songs we have, from Tina Turner and Vanessa Williams, if I remember correctly. Well, similarly, life in Jesus is simply the best. But why is it that so many of us wait until there is nothing left of value in our lives, till we become empty vessels, just like those wine casks, before we even consider turning to Jesus and doing what he says? Why save the best till last? Why wait Why not enjoy it right now? You and I know that without God, life is dull and lifeless. But once Jesus enters the picture, life finds meaning. That's when it truly becomes exciting. And what a pity that so many seek false excitement, vain pursuits. They try drugs for something different, for a high. They try video games. They go clubbing, gambling, whatever. God doesn't want to see people making their lives more miserable, and all of those things do just that. They turn our lives into a disaster. A worse disaster than a wedding in Cana running out of wine. And as we saw earlier, God is personable. He doesn't want us to suffer like that, with self-inflicted suffering. His desire is that we would seek him, and those who haven't already responded to the invitation to follow him should turn to him and should begin to do what he says. But you know what? He isn't going to force them. And that's where you and I come in if we have already made that choice in life. God wants us to lead from the front. No, he doesn't want us to force them, but he does want us to lead from the front. Our job is to demonstrate what true life is all about. Hopefully, when people look at our lives, they see that there's something different about us, and they want to make inquiries. How come you've got all these problems and yet you're still filled with joy? There's something very different about the way you live. What is it? Tell us about it. So as we have opportunity, we can then lead them to a better life, a life with God. There's one more lesson from this passage where we're talking about the wedding at Cana where Jesus turned the water into wine that I would like to highlight. Let's remember that Jesus was on the greatest mission in history, a mission to save the world. There was nothing more important to him, nothing more consuming. And yet, what did he do? Elsewhere, we see that he took time out to be alone and to renew his energy, to be restored by time with God, as he went off to the mountains to pray. But what about in this wedding story? That's not what he did. What did he do then? Well, he shows us that he did take time out for social occasions, to be with people. After all, people were what was most important to him, to bring people into an eternal relationship with the Father. So Jesus even chose to accomplish that by spending time with people, relaxing, chilling out, attending the social function, going to weddings, and who knows whatever activities he engaged in. So there's a lesson there for us too, that let's not make life so full of busyness that we lose that casual and relaxed relationship with other people. In summary, the servants at that wedding in Cana were glad that they listened to Mary's mother and that they did what Jesus said. And I'm pretty sure that we're glad we listened to Jesus too. I know I am, and I'm sure you do. So let me leave you with the thought that we should continue to do what he said, to love God with all our heart, and for his love to pour out through us to others as we love each other as ourselves. And as I said before, let's not forget to love ourselves as well. May we all continue to do what Jesus says, and may your cup runneth over.